I want to speak today from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40. And I won't be before you just a few minutes, but something that I feel is necessary that I need to talk about. And this topic is a topic of transition. Everyone say transition. So this is a topic of transition. I'm gonna teach a little bit of culture. I'm gonna teach a little bit of biblical principle, and we're gonna learn a little bit of why. All right, why this is important. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Putting emphasis on the word all. Let all things be done decently and in order. Paul here speaking to the church of Corinth and, of course, all churches abroad, and putting emphasis on order in the church as you read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians specifically, 12, 13, and 14, starting out in spiritual gifts in chapter number 12, and giving instruction on spiritual gifts and how they should operate in the church. Chapter number 13, giving even more emphasis and importance on charity, saying that you can have every spiritual gift there is, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. Going on to chapter number 14 on how there should be order in the church and how there should be submission from women to husbands and how women are to learn from their husbands at home. But if they don't have that husband at home, then they should make sure they learn from the folks here or the preacher at the church, the pastors, the leaders, the elders, and how it's important for people to have that order. Now, it's important for us men to make sure that we are instructing the home in the right way, because we want to make sure our women are learning the right way at home as well. So he's teaching on all these things in 12, 13, and 14, and then he ends it all by saying, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So with that said, I want to start out, and I just want to talk on that. That's my subject today, decently and in order. So let's first talk about decency, all right? Let's talk about decency. I want to break these up into two categories, decency, and then we're going to talk about order. So decency, Romans 14, 16 says this, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." So this scripture is giving us understanding that even when we have good intent, we need to make sure that our good intent is done right. Now, this goes beyond the four walls of the church. This also goes outside the four walls of the church. We have to make sure that we are doing things decently. So when we are outside the four walls of the church, we need to make sure that we are governing ourselves appropriately, that even when we are doing good, what's doing good? You can be delivering food to someone. But if you are a lady, I would not deliver food to a male by yourself. If you are a man, I would not deliver food to a woman by yourself. What do you mean, preacher? What do you mean? Why is that? I'm just doing something good. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So we put boundaries in place for ourselves, and we put boundaries in place for our home. So we need to make sure that even if I'm helping someone, I need to make sure that my good is not evil spoken of. Now, there's going to be some situations where you're just kind of stuck in a situation that you didn't necessarily purposely walk yourself into. You just happen to be in a situation where here you are and you're with the opposite sex and you need to make a decision pretty quickly. That's why when you're in the room with the opposite gender, door should not be closed. Shouldn't be closed. They should be open. You should be in a position to where you're not in a room or an area at all possible. I know how challenging this can be on jobs. I know how challenging this can be in the corporate world. Done it, worked it. I understand it. But you better believe I set a precedent for myself that if I was meeting with a young lady or if a young lady just happened to walk into my office, I would stop them. Can we please step out in the hallway? Can we? No. But this is, no, I need to talk to you in private. Well, you need to make an appointment because we're going to need to go to a conference room somewhere where there's windows. Because I don't want my good to be evil spoken of. All right? So you're putting safeguards up for yourself. Okay? Now, this teaching will buck up against the world's culture. All right? But we are not aiming to please the world. We're aiming to please him. So it is important how you conduct yourself, okay? How you conduct yourself outside the four walls and how you support people, how you help people. Now, let's take it a little bit further, even how you pray with people. Let's first start outside the four walls, okay? I have prayed for many men and women outside the four walls. I have been on jobs where I have prayed for both men and women outside the four walls. I've been in neighborhoods where I've prayed for men and women outside the four walls. I've knocked on doors. Remember those days? We knocked on doors and I've prayed for men and women. But it's all about how I pray for men and women outside the four walls. When I'm with a man, now, years ago, what wasn't even a thought in my mind if a man said, I'm having chest problems, to lay hands on their chest. Wasn't even a second guess. Today, I'm not putting my hand on their chest. If I don't know you, I'm not touching the body part. Okay. Today, because I'm not letting my good be evil spoken of. I'm keeping my hand right here on their head, all right? So when it comes to ladies, never touch a body part. You always hold their hand or you ask them permission to place your hand upon their head. I'm talking outside the four walls, all right? So these things can be done in decency and in order so that your good is never evil spoken of. When you pray for people, these things are so important. And it's amazing how God has moved upon people and I never even laid a hand on them at all. I simply extended my hand. I simply spoke the word over their life. Didn't even have to touch them and God still moved on their behalf because the Lord knew the intent of my heart. And so he would honor my intent and still move upon them because I'm going to show you later in this lesson that laying on of hands is something that the Bible instructs us to do. Now, there is also a decency inside the church. See, when you're outside the church and you're moved by the Spirit to go pray for someone, when you're outside the church and you're moved by the Spirit to lay hands upon someone or pray with individuals, then you follow the leading of the Spirit. But when you're inside the four walls, there's a difference between the culture outside the four walls and the culture inside the four walls. Because once you come inside the four walls, now there's an order with decency that goes along with it. Okay? So it is important that we understand that decency is something that is recognized by other people. When you have a decent spirit, let me take that a little bit further. When you have a good spirit, a right spirit about you, people will recognize that right spirit. Look at what Boaz said about Ruth in Ruth chapter 3, verse number 11. It says, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. All because she conducted herself in decency and in order. How she cared for her mother-in-law and how she conducted herself very humbly with humility. Boaz said, everybody knows about you. Everybody talks about you, all because you do things in decency and in order. She didn't call herself virtuous. The city called her virtuous. You don't have to call yourself someone that is humble. People will call you humble. People will consider you to be someone that's doing things in decency and in order. And so now it is important that we understand the order or the decency inside the four walls. Why? Because inside the four walls, you oftentimes dealing with prayer. Hear me say, men, go pray with men. Women, go pray with women. Why? Because we're trying to do things decent. Right? And what am I doing? I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to make sure that you are okay, that you don't put yourself in a situation that could come back on you or on us. Because we don't know everyone's intent when they come into this church. And remember, I'm teaching transition. Some of you have already missed that. Because the bigger you get, the larger you become, the more people that come, the more indecent people are going to come into your four walls. And the more people that are going to come in looking to do something wrong or harm or damage or try to tear down. Because the devil's always looking for some little sliver. But it's my job as the watchman on the wall to teach against things that may be happening or could be coming. All right. So men with men, women with women, that is so important. To do that's just doing things decently, and when you have that decency about you, people will recognize that and respect that. Now, with that being said, when it comes to you feeling like you have a word for someone. And that someone is opposite gender, of the opposite sex. I don't care how much Holy Ghost power you feel you have, you do not go to that person. And matter of fact, if you had a whole lot of Holy Ghost power, the Holy Ghost would tell you not to go. You do not go to that person. You go get a minister. And then that minister will go with you over to that person for you to say what you feel the Spirit is leading you to say. So if I've got a word for Sister Caton, it's different when it's the man of God or the pastor that speaks into a young lady or to a young man. As the pastor of the church, I can go lay hands upon the ladies of the church or and of course the men of the church. But when it comes to a saint of God in the church, going to lay hands and speak words into them, then they should have someone with them, another male with them or another female with them, depending on the situation. Even when I go lay hands on a lady as the pastor of the church, I'm always going to touch their forehead. And if a lady tells me that they have a situation going on in their back or in their feet or in their hip or wherever the pain is, then I'm going to have Sister Robinson or I'm going to have one of the minister's wives come with me over there. They're going to lay hands on their belly, their chest, their stomach, their back or whatever the case may be. But I'm going to keep my hand on their head and believe that God is going to touch them. What are you teaching on, Pastor? I'm teaching on decency. All right? Because we need to make sure that we don't get sloppy in the Holy Ghost. All right? Okay. We're going to be a Holy Ghost-filled church, water-baptized church, but we're also going to be a church that does things decently and in order. Okay? All right? Okay, so that is very important. That is very important. So ministers and ministers' wives are those, let me rephrase that. Ministers' wives, and those that I have given the okay to lay hands upon people and minister into people are the only ones that should be doing that. No one else should do those things unless I've given the okay to do it. In the church, I'm not talking about outside the four walls now. Outside the four walls is different from in the church. Why is that so important? Because if we allow everyone to lay hands upon people and speak into people's lives, what are you saying? I'm talking about laying hands on their forehead and you speak into their life. What I have done is I have opened up a door to where old Billy Bob come walking in here, and old Billy Bob ain't got more Holy Ghost than a gnat's back leg. He's just as carnal as he wants to be. He's just as worldly as he wants to be. But old Billy Bob done came into an apostolic church, and he sees everybody laying hands on everybody, and all of a sudden he has some goosebumps. Billy Bob feeling pretty good right now because he's feeling something he's never felt before, right? The hairs are raising up on his arm, and Billy Bob's like, well, let me slap my hand on somebody's head then. See, we're laughing, but there was a sorcerer named Simon that seen when the apostles laid hands on people and they received the Holy Ghost. And that sorcerer said, well, I want that power. I want to be able to do that. I want to lay hands on people. I want that to happen. You don't think that spirit is still alive and around here? Because we've had some Billy Bobs come in here just since I've been here in the last 3 years and start slapping their hand on folks. And I've had to move old Billy Bob's hand because that's not decency and in order. We don't know who you are. We don't know where you come from. And we don't know what spirit you're transmitting into somebody. I try to encourage people that if somebody got their hand laid on you and they talking into your ear and speaking into your spirit and you don't recognize the voice, you better open up your eyes. Don't leave your eyes shut trying to appear spiritual. No, the most spiritual thing you can do is open up your eyes and say, who is this? And if you don't know who they are, you just do this. I'm telling you. You better have enough boldness to do that. Okay? You go home having dreams. You go home transmitting spirits in your home. And okay? So no, we don't open up that door. You have to do things in decency. So let me repeat myself. Ministers and ministers' wives and those that I have given the okay. If you're sitting in here today saying, man, has Pastor given me the okay? I probably haven't. Because those people know who they are. All right? If you would like the okay, you can come to me, but please have enough Holy Ghost. When I say no, you don't run away from the church. Amen. Now, it is important to understand that just because I say no or I haven't given you the okay, that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost power in you. That doesn't mean you're not full of God's Spirit. That doesn't mean you can't cast out devils. That doesn't mean you can't speak into people and they can't be healed and delivered. It's just that in here, I'm going to make sure we have decency and order. And there's only going to be a select group of people that I give the okay to do those things. All right? And then that's why we have classes. That's why we have training. That's why we have ministry growth. That's why I do all these things to develop people. And then when I see people's development, then I can elevate you in here. All right? So that is important because inside the four walls is different than outside the four walls. Plus, This is going to be a church that produces ministry on many levels. And when you, if you don't learn structure, when you go out and visit another church, and now all of a sudden, can I use you as an example, Brother James, just because you're sitting right here, okay? Oh, Brother James and went out, visit another church, and he just, he using both hands. And the pastor say, who is this? Who is this? And James is over there handing out Star City Church cards. You don't know who I am? Amen. All of a sudden, I'm getting a phone call. So, do you know a James Pruitt? He's over here casting out devils, and we had to cast him out. But see, that only happens when people don't learn structure in their own church. You wouldn't go other places and do that. My wife and I, just to give one 30-second example, we've been in ministry before we were married, and then once we got married, been in ministry a long time. But you better believe, every church we went to, even though I would feel certain things in my spirit, like, oh, my Lord, if somebody was just go pray for them, if somebody would do that, guess what? We stayed right in our seat. We didn't move because we did not have permission from the pastor of the church. It's okay for you to go lay hands on that person. Something that very impressed me was that on Sunday morning, there was a man that came from a different church, and he was up here and he was standing next to Brother Robert. Okay, I don't know if Brother Robert's in here today. Oh, hey, you're right there. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So he was standing right next to Brother Robert, and he wanted to pray for Brother Robert. He did not touch Brother Robert, didn't lay hands on Brother Robert. He came to me. He said, is this one of the members of your church? I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, is it okay if I pray with him? See, immediately, this man had a humble spirit. I knew. I said, okay, you've been trained right. You have a humble spirit. And because of that, my guard was let down now. Right? I said, okay, I can trust you because you submitted yourself to authority. So whatever you have to say, I don't have to stand right next to you to make sure you're saying the right thing to my brothers or my sisters. Plus, as the shepherd, as the under-shepherd, I have to make sure the people are okay. I have to make sure that the sheep are okay, right? So everything must be done with decency. Now, it is important. Okay, let's move on to order. Let's move on to order. I've taught a little bit of order already, but let's move on even further. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 22. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. So the scripture is teaching us not to join with someone quickly, or not to promote someone quickly, or to place in position quickly. You see why we have to have decency in order? Why I don't just allow everyone just to lay hands upon people? All right? So this is very important. When we lay hands upon people and speak into people's life, it's different than when I say, ladies, go find a lady. Man, go find a man. And what do I typically say? If you listen to me real close, go encourage them. If you listen, you got to listen to your pastor's words now. I'm very particular when I speak. I know what I'm saying because I understand the spirituality behind it. Go encourage somebody. Go strengthen someone. Go speak life into them. If you listen to the words that I say those things often. All right? Okay? Because that is different when I am just joining with my brother, okay, and just praying with him and asking God to keep them and encourage them and be with them and strengthen them. I pray for his family. I pray for his marriage. These things are different. Love my brother. God, strengthen my brother. Help my brother. Lord, I love him. God, I pray that whatever word was spoken today, God, that word will get in his heart today. And Lord, whatever it is, I'm speaking it to him, okay? much different than what I'm saying a minister, a minister's wife, or those that I have given a okay to do this. Different. Okay? Lay hands upon them, and now I'm speaking into my brother's life whatever I feel the Spirit is leading me to say. Not what my pastor said, you can go encourage your brother. Does that make sense, everyone? All right? So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you up there praying and you just feel a hand on your back or on your shoulder, that's different. Accept that. That is support. That's love. Does that make sense? That's support. That's love. You don't have to turn around and say, get your hands off me. I don't know who you are. Pastor said, don't be touching me. No. Now, if you do that, I may. I may clap my hands. I may say, you go, girl. But you're doing it the wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way. All right? That's love. That's support. We should want love and support. But if that same person comes like this, come on, God's about to deliver you, and God's going to bring you out. That's when you, go ahead, do it to me, E. you move that hand right off your head. Okay? You don't know who they are. You don't know what's taking place. So that is important to do, and that's how we do things decently and in order. Inside the four walls of the church. Does everyone understand that? Okay. So this is very important to understand, because remember, this is all a part of transition. And as we continue to grow, and as we continue to have more membership and people that come in, we need to understand what is happening, when it's happening, because when the Spirit of God is moving, we need to make sure that we are in the proper positions for God to flow. All right? God needs to flow, because we all want to be conduits of the Holy Ghost and of the Spirit. Okay? We have to do that. And in order for us to operate in spiritual authority, we must be under authority. Okay? All right? We must be under authority. And when you're under authority, I'm telling you, God will release something within you where a greater spiritual authority will come upon you. I wish I had a preacher in here that would say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? All right. So this is important. When the Bible speaks of the threshing floor, speaks of it often. Okay? If you was to look up the threshing floor, it is a place of revelation in many contexts of scripture. It is a place of revelation, a threshing floor, a place of revelation. I'll prove it to you. I'm gonna give you one scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, then Solomon, it'll be up on the screen here in a moment. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. Listen, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, revelation. Where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the what? Threshing floor at Ornan, the Jebusite. A place of revelation took place here. And this is what we consider, or what the Bible speaks of when it talks about a threshing floor. What do we consider the threshing floor or the place of revelation in the church? I can help you if you don't know. The platform. Okay? The altar, this is right here, right up here. A threshing floor, the place of revelation. Why am I bringing this up? Because adults, parents, we must never lose honor and respect for the threshing floor. Okay. And we are living in a day, in a generation, where that honor and respect is diluting. Okay? Now, kids will be kids. Kids will be kids. They'll run and the. But as adults and parents, we have to. You get down from there. That's not a place to play. Come on, get down from there, because it is our modern day threshing floor. It is our place of revelation. Okay, so we must have honors. We must have reverence for the threshing floor. Hallelujah. I know some of you may be hearing this for the first time, but I'm in the book. I'm telling you, I'm in the book. I'm not outside the book yet. Okay? So we must reverence it. We must honor it. Remember, I'm teaching transition. All right? Teaching transition. So we must honor it. We must reverence it. We must make sure that the people that stand up here, including myself, the singers, musicians, all of us that come up on the threshing floor, there's honor. There's reverence, there's respect, and we make sure children don't play on the threshing floor. Okay? Okay? Amen? Okay. Let all things be done decently and in order. Just a couple more minutes and I'm done. So when I thank the Lord for, let me say this. I thank the Lord for our ministers and ministers' wives. We have a wonderful team. And when we are praying with people at the altar, okay, I want people to be led by the Spirit. I want the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. I want the gift of faith and miracles and healing and all those things to take place. I want it to be done, but it has to be done in decency and in order, okay? And I want things to take place everywhere throughout this church, and I need people to be able to lay hands upon people and be able to believe God by faith. But we have to. It has to be done decency and in order. It has to be done that way. All right. We cannot become a church that is careless with the things of God. We cannot. And all pastor is doing is putting up safeguard. I'm really trying to protect the sheep. I'm really teaching this for you. I really am. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm not trying to say, oh, man, I did something wrong. No. I'm trying to protect you so that Sally Sue or Billy Joe don't come in here laying hands on your kids and people up in here. We have to have enough boldness to say, Pastor don't want that. And if you can't take their hand off or remove them, go find a preacher to go do it. All right? Go find somebody to help you. Amen. Get a security. Get somebody. We don't know who you are, sir. Sorry. We don't know you. You just walking in here laying hands on. We don't know who you are. Where'd you come from? And I don't care. Oh, boy. Internet's not going to like me. I don't care if you're from a different apostolic church. I don't care if you're from the church down the road and we know that church and we know that. I don't care. Unless you come to me first, like that young man did, you come to me first and say, hey, is it okay for me to do that? Yes, now I've given you permission. Don't care if they come from another apostolic church. Doesn't matter. Because I don't know you. I don't know your character. I don't know what you've been doing. You could be here running from your old apostolic church. Your pastor don't even know you're here. Spaghetti. Get your spaghetti and meatball self out of here. Right? Get out of here. Laying hands on everybody. You and your ragu sauce. Get out of here. That's right. I'm protecting the sheep. I don't know who you are. Get out of here. Get out of here. Hallelujah. I've got more, but I'm going to stop. No. I'm going to stop. We have to do things in decency and in order. Okay? All right. I know this was simple tonight, but I wanted everyone to understand the importance of what the expectations are of me. All right? And how you need to understand the difference between what we do outside the four walls and inside the four walls is different. Okay? Outside the four walls, different order, different structure, different dominion, different principality. It's different. But when you come inside the church, now there's order to everything. And make sure that you don't allow your good to be evil spoken of. All right? Don't let your good be husbands. Protect your wives. I love when my wife travels with me when she can. She protects me. She protects me. Okay? Every once in a while, hey, this bald head guy get a couple looks. You know, you just never know. Yeah. I may not have much hair on my head, but they, hey, I'm like, oh, hey. Me? Yeah. But she helps, she protects me. I thank the Lord for that. All right? Thank the Lord for that. We have to make sure we don't put ourselves in positions. Well, let me take another few moments. So to our younger crowd, unmarried, protect yourself. Don't let yourself be out too late somewhere in a car together for too many hours, or protect yourself. This is all ages here now, okay? You can be 17 or 67. Protect yourself, right? Amen. I don't know what age the whales start running dry, but hey, you know, just protect yourself, okay? I better stop teaching now. I'm definitely going to get a phone call on that one. I'm definitely going to get one. Protect yourself. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Decency, order. Protect the threshing floor. All right? Protect the threshing floor. Make sure. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I know we've had a little fun and laugh, but I feel like God is confirming this. Can we lift our hands right now? Come on, can we lift our hands? Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. God, we honor you. Oh, we look to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, let this word sink deep down into our hearts and into our spirit. Help us, Lord God, to know, Lord Jesus, that you will honor those that walk circumspectly, oh God, before you. Help us, Jesus, to have people, women in this church that are virtuous women, holy men in this church, oh God. Oh, God, that is our sincere desire to walk uprightly before you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord and magnify him? Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I love you all. I love you all. And I'm just a watchman on the wall, that's all. Just a watchman on the wall. And I'm not trying to beat nobody up. This was no intent. But I just want to make sure we get things right. And as we move forward, things will stay right. All right, that's all. Just a watchman on the wall. Just as I see things taking place, it's my job to take care of it. Amen. Amen, amen. If I wouldn't tell you, I wouldn't love you. But because I love you, I've got to teach like this sometimes. Okay? All right, good, good. Now, because I love you and I know you love me, if you can help us out with with some U-Hauls, maybe. If you're able to give and be a help, please. But mark it on the envelope. I don't want to confuse your tithing and your offering. If you need an envelope, you can do that. Like I said, I have meetings. Those of you that can help out Sister Robinson and those of you that can help out Brother and Sister Linger, we'll be doing some packing up this Sunday. And then Sunday, I will bring forth more information with announcements. And I thank the Lord. God is so good. I love you all. I love you all. God bless you. See you this Sunday in Jesus' name.